You need to know who people really are, don't you? You need to know who people really are. I mean, you wouldn't want to discover, would you, that the person operating on you was actually, look closely, Boris Johnson. That would be really scary, wouldn't it? If you're just about to be put under anaesthetic and you look up and there's Boris. That would be scary. You need to know. Or imagine that the person fixing your laptop was actually an international cyber criminal. You'd be worried. You need to know who people are. We need to know the people we can trust. We need to know the people who claim to have authority over us. Now, in our Bible reading, people were confused about who Jesus was. The whole city of Jerusalem was disturbed, was upset, and asked, who is this? Who is this? Who is this that the crowds are shouting about? Who is this that they're welcoming as if he were their king? But why are they so confused? Why don't they understand who Jesus is? Well, because he's not the sort of person they expect. He seems to have the authority of God. He seems to have the power to be king. But he's not like any normal king. Look, when Queen Elizabeth came into her capital city, London, to be crowned queen, this is how she came.
On what must surely be the greatest day of her life, Queen Elizabeth drives to her coronation. All night through, indeed longer than that, crowds have waited for this moment as the golden coach appears in view for the first time. The long planning, the careful rehearsals, the flurry of preparations, all have reached their fruition in this dramatic opening of a dramatic and historic occasion. Imagine, if you can, our young queen's feelings as, with her husband beside her, she is slowly borne towards the hours-long ceremony of pomp, circumstance, and dedication, consecrating her as queen of all the nations and all the races over which she holds sovereignty. Preceded by her guards and escorted by her cavalry, she drives through cheering crowds down the gaily decorated avenue of the Mall.
That's what you'd expect, isn't it? You'd expect all the pomp and ceremony that goes with the queen coming to be made, to be enthroned, to be crowned. A huge procession, soldiers marching, bands playing, and the queen in her golden coach pulled by 8 white horses. That's what you'd expect when a king or queen comes to their coronation. But when Jesus arrives in his capital city, Jerusalem, to be crowned king, well, here's what happens.
Even though Jesus knew he was going to be killed for the sins of mankind, he resolutely took the road to Jerusalem. He sent 2 of his disciples to bring a donkey. As he rode along, the crowd rejoiced and praised God, proclaiming Jesus as king.
Disciples to be quiet.
I tell you, if they were to be quiet, the stones themselves would begin shouting.
So when Jesus arrives near Jerusalem, he tells his disciples to do something very, very odd, doesn't he? Go and find a donkey and her colt or foal, the young donkey, and bring them to me, says Jesus. And if anybody asks, just say, they're for the Lord, it's okay. And they'll let them go. And that's exactly what happened. The disciples find everything exactly as Jesus said. But it is all very odd, isn't it? Jesus is behaving like a king and not like a king. But it had to be like this. It had to be like this because Jesus had to do what God had said he would do beforehand through the prophet Zechariah, who said, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." When the crowd starts to ride to, when Jesus starts to ride towards Jerusalem, hundreds of people are shouting and cheering and waving palm branches, putting their cloaks on the road for the donkey to walk on. Maybe poo on as well. Imagine today how the people of Ukraine would respond if someone turned up who really could kick out Putin and all the Russian soldiers. Imagine how they'd welcome someone like that. Well, the people thought that Jesus had come to kick out the Romans, who were a bit like Putin's Russians. And imagine that you are there in Jerusalem. You're waiting for this person to come to kick out the Romans and free your country, Israel. Oh, how you would shout and scream when you saw that person coming on the road. Hosanna to the Son of David. Lord, save us. That's what Hosanna means. Save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, save us forever. When Jesus arrives in the city, when he rides in on the donkey, people come out to see what all the noise and the fuss is about. And they see Jesus and they see the crowds and they say, "Who is this? Who is it?" And the crowds reply, "Oh, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth." So everyone's confused, you see? They've welcomed Jesus as king, but then they say he's a prophet. King? Prophet? Well, he's not like any normal king. And he's not like any normal prophet. He is gentle. He is humble. He is sitting on a donkey. Who is this Jesus? It's a really important question that people are asking, isn't it? And it's a question we need to investigate a bit further in a few moments. But before we do that, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing, "Let the Earth Resound." So let's stand up and let's sing together.
Patrick, very much indeed. By the way, if ever I don't have my microphone on, just shout at me, okay? Just tell me. It's on now. Good. Okay. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem, to his capital city. And in the center of the city, the most important building, the massive, massive building, was the temple in Jerusalem. It was the center of life. It was the center of the city. It was the center of prayer and of worship. Except it wasn't. People had turned the temple into a noisy marketplace. And Jesus went in there and he looked around and he saw the people ripping each other off, just there to make money, money, money. And Jesus was not happy. And he went into the temple and he was angry and he drove out the animals and he drove out the money and he turned over their tables. It's shocking, isn't it? We don't think of Jesus. And that's just a little tiny table. Imagine Jesus going in and turning over the tables, scattering coins everywhere, scattering cows and sheep and pigeons, driving them out. "My house will be called a house of prayer," says Jesus, "for all nations. But you're making it a den of thieves." You see, the king has come. The king has come to his temple.
And he throws out the greedy and the liars and the cheats and the scammers. And then, do you see what happens next? Jesus is surrounded by people. He's surrounded by blind people and disabled people, people who can't walk. And he heals them. Jesus is surrounded by not the strong and the powerful, but the weak and the needy. And the children start to run around the temple, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! The King has come to save us!" And maybe you know what it's like in some churches and some religious buildings. If you start to run around and shout, people go, shh, you mustn't be like that in here. And that's what the religious leaders say. They're upset. Don't you hear what these children are saying? They're saying you're a king who's going to save us. And they're running around the house of God. It's not right. They're like treating it like a playground. And Jesus says, yeah, I hear them. I hear them. I can see them. Have you never read, you religious teachers, you Bible teachers, have you never read Psalm 8? Have you never heard how God's plan, God's will, is that children and infants should praise God? God's will is here in action. And Jesus walks out of the temple, and he walks out of Jerusalem. So who is this? Who is this king who rides a donkey? Who is this, the man that the people adore and the religious leaders hate? Who is he? Who is he to you this morning? Is he perhaps a prophet? A teacher? A healer? A religious leader? A powerful teacher? God's son, even? Well, of course, he's all of those things and much, much more besides. But here's the one thing you need to see today. He is your king. He rules your life. He is your gentle king. He rules your life gently. He is the king who kneels at your feet and washes you clean. He's the king who comes to serve you and even to hang on a cross for you. So how do we respond? Well, we respond like the children, don't we? We respond like the children and we shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Jesus, thank you for coming to save me. Hosanna, save!" So, can we do that? Is that your natural response to this, your gentle king, who comes to serve you? Can you say this to him now? Well, if you can, here are the words on the screen. If you can say these things to Jesus, then join with me and say them. Shout them even. I think Martin's here this morning. We haven't got Martin to lead us in shouting. So someone else is going to have to help us. We haven't got Gordon either this morning. So our two best shouters aren't here. So other people are going to have to help this morning, okay? So if you can say this, say it with me. Save us, Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us. Hosanna in the highest. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus, the gentle King. We thank you that he comes to serve us, not to be served by us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that he rode into Jerusalem as the gentle King on a donkey. And we thank you that he headed to the cross where he died for us. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you raised him from the dead and he is now seated as the King of all time in your heaven. Father, we praise you and we say Hosanna. Thank you. Praise you. Lord, thank you that you did this for us and that Jesus is our gentle King. Amen.
Well, our closing hymn this morning is Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Yes, King Jesus is our friend and our lover. Let's stand to sing.